from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back. Jay Binkley, Drew Nixon, Cody Tapp, Alex Gold with the day off, even though Cody's pretty active on Twitch.
Shout out to Cody. He turns 40 this weekend.
He's a man. He's 40.
I had him replicate that yesterday.
Did you?
He did a really good job.
You know, Gundy's 50 now. He's over 50 now.
Oh, yeah.
It's been a long time
still rocking the mullet. He almost looks, not as though he didn't look, I mean, he looked 40, I guess, back when he made the video. Now he looks
trimmed
like
the mullet, though.
Yeah, but I think it looks clean. Like, it looks like he went through a, not a, whatever it's called, like a midlife crisis or whatever, but it's like he woke up in 2024. You know, he's got a cool cut now, even though he's 50 plus. You know, I mean, look, one of the things too, Bink, real quick.
He's got a good team.
The only reason that he's still there, because he could have been fired multiple times, is because he went there. That's his alma mater. That's the only reason.
And he's always been really good at recruiting.
Correct. That's the only reason that he's still there.
And he wins.
Well, yeah, but there's been seasons that he's gone 7-6 and 6-6 or whatever, and you could say, yeah, you're just not as good anymore, and you could have been fired. Like, if he were at any other big school or whatever, he might have been gone. But
you,
anyways, yeah.
You enjoying the, did you watch any of the PGA Tour, the FedEx Championship, the last round going right now?
I am really bad at watching golf outside of majors. I'm really, really bad.
Well, this is it's not a major, but FedEx Cup.
Other than the Players Championship, and I'll watch the Waste Management. I do a really bad job. If it's bad, I'll use it as background noise, or if I've got, you know, if I'm doing something, I'll use it. I'll have it on if there's nothing else on. But I don't do as good of a job following golf outside of the majors, and I follow news, but not like watching tournaments.
I don't know how much drama though, because Scheffler, the way they do things, he got 10 strokes.
Yeah, the way they do
the number one player in the world, and the gold medalist got 10. By the way, he's minus 16. The closest to him is Colin Murakawa at minus 9. He got like 6 strokes, I think, didn't he, Colin? Something like that.
So anyway, Scotty's so good.
Can you imagine giving Scotty Scheffler strokes? For the FedEx Cup title.
Giving strokes, absolutely not.
But regardless, we have some college football. We'll get into that more. You do anything for Labor Day weekend? You do anything? Like grill out or anything? Anything fun? It's Labor Day.
Labor Day, I think my wife is working, unfortunately, but we might be able to do something.
That's kind of contradictory. Labor Day, you know, working.
Oh, well, when you're in the restaurant industry. Look, there are holidays that a lot of people, we get in the text line. There's a lot of holidays where we might have off, but.
No, I worked Christmas Day last year because of the Chiefs.
Yeah, I get it. She works
too,
though, but I think we might go do something. We might hang out a little bit and go do something Monday morning. But yeah.
Hold that thought.
Other than that, not much.
Hold that thought. There's a reason I brought that up. Of course, we have Chiefs Red Half Hour coming up 11:30. But there's a reason I brought this up, Drew. And I'll bring up that reason why I brought it up. But the playoff predictions, have you seen any? I haven't seen any of the hot takes of someone picking not the Chiefs like last year. There are worse people still pick the Chargers. And when Kyle Brandt at the NFL Network afterwards said, hey, whatever it is, I'm picking the Chiefs. Every time someone doubts them, they just continue to win it.
Well, wasn't it Dante Whitner who earlier this year said something along those lines? I can't remember if he predicted them to win the AFC West or whatever. I think it was something along those lines.
But the Chiefs were, they did it with their, they went through NFL Network, had all their people, right? They had all their participants, all the people there, and their writers and stuff like that, who they think is going to be the division champ. The Chiefs were unanimous. So there wasn't a split there from the NFL Network people. So usually you have somebody dissenting it and picking somebody else, but that's the unanimous pick at this point, the Kansas City Chiefs. And I don't think there's any reason not to think that going forward. But as a matter of fact, the Ravens got 34 points in this deal. The Kansas City Chiefs just totally cleaned up as far as with the minus 260 points on that, ranking one. No doubt. Who, by the way, do you have finishing second in this division?
I still think it's the Chargers. I think Jim Harbaugh is, he's a good enough coach, I think, for them to finish second in the division. I think that that's, I know they're dealing with some talent questions, particularly in the wide receiver room. There's some ifs, ands, or buts about how that room is going to look this year. I guess it all pertains down to Justin Herbert's health as well.
That's the one thing, because we don't definitively know like how that plantar fasciitis is doing.
And that is an injury that I've never had, but I've had a couple friends who have had it and throughout high school and college who played sports, and it has been a lingering, nagging injury that is really not fun to play with. If he misses like significant time, as in like 4 to 6 weeks, I think, or more, maybe the Broncos are next in line, because, you know, I like Bo Nix. I think that they can surprise some people. But I don't think anybody in the division other than the Chiefs are hitting double-digit wins.
So only three people really like him. His mom and dad and Sean Payton, and I guess you now, so four.
Why does everybody hate Bo Nix?
They don't hate him. They're just looking at the fact that, you know, looking at his age.
Look, Joe Burrow was the same age, and I'm not saying he's Joe Burrow, because he's not.
Every year there's busts. There's quarterbacks. Except a couple years ago, every single one of them. Trevor Lawrence, what, that 2021 is the only guy still on the roster of his team that drafted him. But you know there's going to be busts. Is he going to be the bust? Because somebody is.
If there is a bust, I think it's him or it's Drake May. But I don't...
Yeah, Drake May leads the clubhouse right now.
What I don't consider...
He couldn't even beat up Jacoby Brissett.
I don't consider Bo Nix a bust, because I don't think he should be considered a make-or-break quarterback. Like, to me, his peak is top 15, top 12 quarterback. Like that is as good as Bo Nix is going to get in the NFL. I think he's going to be a solid starter. If he's a bust, he doesn't work out, obviously, but I think Drake May is more of a bust candidate, because he was picked top 5. He's younger. Everybody thinks he can be a legit quarterback in this league. Nobody's saying that about Bo Nix. So if he struggles, is he even a bust? Because nobody believes in him.
But I think Bo Nix is what
Sean Payton believes in him enough. They've got enough in as a collective group, I think, to finish second in the division. And that might be only 8 or 9 wins, but I don't know if you agree with me, Bink. That might be all that it takes to finish second in the AFC West.
No, it could be, because I think the AFC West is going to be bad.
Because of Herbert's health and obviously being a question, too.
In the quarterback play of the Raiders and the Denver Broncos. Here's the one thing I'll say about Bo Nix. When he was at Auburn, did you ever look at him and think of NFL quarterback? Because I did. He had a 12-7 interception to TD ratio. He had 11-3 one year. Dan Lanning's system fit him well. I mean, was he a product of the system of what Oregon was doing? And I think there was some of that.
I think maybe. But if you look, who has Gus Malzahn put out into the NFL that's been really good? Because Cam Newton was at Gene Chizik. He was not with Gus Malzahn.
He's got KJ Jefferson now to turn around.
KJ Jefferson's not an NFL quarterback. No. I think that there's part of that to the equation is the way that Gus Malzahn ran his offense. It's not a, hey, you're going to come and develop and be an NFL quarterback from my system. Where I think at Oregon, and the way Dan Lanning does things, I mean, the same thing with Dylan Gabriel. Dylan Gabriel is going to be in the exact same position as Bo Nix is going to be next season.
That's why he's the Heisman favorite going to 15 colleges.
Dylan Gabriel is going to have a ridiculous season, but he's not going to be the first quarterback selected in the draft. I don't even know if he's going to be the second or the third quarterback selected in the draft. It's going to be the same conversation around Dylan Gabriel, Bink, because he's older. He's going to put up ridiculous numbers, and everybody's going to ask the exact same question that you're asking. And maybe it is a partial product of the system that Dan Lanning has, but if you have the completion percentage that he had and have a ridiculous stat line like Bo Nix had, like, you can throw the football. Like Case Keenum had a ridiculously good career at Houston. He was a decent NFL quarterback, solid backup. Bo Nix was a starter throughout and played at Power 5 conference level, not Group of 5 level. That's why I think Bo Nix is going to be a more serviceable starter, because he's putting up these numbers at big programs playing against other big programs.
He definitely was.
That might just be, I might be one of the few people that believe it. But
well, Sean Payton took the job, and to me, you know, he had an anchor right away with Russell Wilson when he took the job over. You know,
yeah, he did not like him
the money and everything else. But the Raiders, I think they'll be in position. They'll grab a quarterback this year. I don't think they'll go through this draft without moving up and getting one. Which quarterback will it be? Obviously, I think Carson Beck, Shedeur Sanders, the top two quarterbacks. Quinn Ewers, I'd probably put it three or four, even though he left Xavier Worthy way short a lot of times. He would underthrow the Connor Weigman at Texas A&M is going to get a lot of run as well. Drew Aller, Penn State, like him. Garrett Nussbaum, I put all these guys ahead of Dylan Gabriel. Dylan Gabriel, by the way, is 5'11".
Yeah, he's not tall, doesn't help him.
Which, it's 5'11 now, which means at the combine, you're 5'9 or 5'10. If you're listed at 5'11".
Yeah, because the measurement's always in cleats or shoes.
Yeah, so what I would do, well, no, it's not, but guys never are the size that they put on these sheets. A lot of receivers were, quote, 6'3 and 6'4.
Ended that up are being, actually like 6'1. You know, right,
6'1 and 6'2 at the combine. Last year. But the bottom line is, the one...
I'm looking through this. I'm looking through the list.
The AFC West, to me, is very sweepable for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh, yes.
Extremely sweepable.
Yes. Yes. I agree. I don't... At worst, I think they go 5-1. In all seriousness. And maybe that loss is one of the... Their one loss is going to be like the Christmas game last year where it's a dud. They shouldn't be playing as bad as they are, but for whatever reason they are, and it could be against any of those three teams, and that's the way it's going to be.
But Andy Reid's just emphasis on this division is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. I mean, against the Raiders, he's 11-2 in the last 13, 16-3 in the last 19. He's 18-4 in the last 22 versus Chargers.
Yeah.
He's 8-2 in the last 10, 17-3 in the last 20. And keep in mind, one of those losses came when he played his JV team out there. The Broncos 16-1 in the last 17. I mean, the ownership he has over this division.
He's the father of the AFC West right now.
Yeah, they should send Father's Day cards to One Arrowhead Drive.
Send them to Andy.
Yeah, but as far as the most interesting division to me is that AFC North, which, by the way, that's going to be the end season Hard Knocks.
Yes,
which
I'm be the very AFC, excited
which
about.
I can't wait for. But Baltimore, I don't know why Baltimore gets slighted by some. This team's not going anywhere. You know, defensively, they're going to be stout.
Yep.
Lamar Jackson's a two-time NFL MVP.
Yep.
He finally won another playoff game. He's won two now. He finally won one last year. They choked it away against the Chiefs at home because they had the Chiefs at home. And because of Kadarius Toney dropping two passes, that's why that game was in Baltimore, or two games where he dropped passes and he lined up incorrectly against Buffalo. Because of Kadarius Toney, the Chiefs had the play in Baltimore because they would have tied him with the same record but had a better AFC record than Baltimore. So that game would have been at Arrowhead Stadium if not for one Kadarius Toney. But Baltimore, to me, is – I have Chiefs on tier one. I have Baltimore on that same tier because you look at what they did last year. It's coming from a tough division because you're playing the Bengals twice, who don't have Ja'Marr Chase right now. And is he waiting out CD Lamb? Once CD Lamb signed, I'm like, okay, well, Jamar's going to get his money.
Brandon Ayuk. Brandon Ayuk didn't even get paid as much. I mean, he got paid a lot, but look, Ja'Marr Chase is playing week one. I said it yesterday. He's going to play. He knows what he's doing. He shouldn't have slighted Zach Taylor the way that he did. Zach Taylor also assumed in this situation.
Yeah, he misspoke.
Look. Their situation is going to be fine, but you're right, though. The AFC North is the toughest division in football. I'm intrigued. If we had to pick a non-AFC division, the NFC North is potentially just as competitive as the AFC North is because you got the Lions. Who would have thought this, too? The Lions would be up at the top of the division, but the Packers, you've got the Bears as well with Caleb Williams coming in into the mix. And then I think if J.J. McCarthy would have been healthy, I don't think he would have made them a contender, but I don't trust Sam Darnold because Sam Darnold hasn't proven anything in his career yet to be worthy of leading a playoff team. But I think Minnesota would have been lurking a little bit because you have Justin Jefferson, because you have Jordan Addison, and, you know, the coach's name is escaping me right now. Yes. That division's really, really good as well. Both North Spink are really good divisions, and I think that's the division to watch in the NFC. Somebody from the text line, 913-586-7965. Baltimore's going to win the North. Cleveland's going to finish second. The Bengals third. Pittsburgh four.
You know what? I don't like Cleveland ahead of. I think it's Baltimore, Cincinnati, Cleveland, or no, Pittsburgh, then Cleveland. Even though I'm not wild on Pittsburgh right now with the quarterback situation. I know Mike Tomlin never loses.
I'm dead serious.
I get that. It's, to me, that division's a two-team race.
Dead serious, Bink. As long as Deshaun Watson is the starting quarterback, they will never sniff a division title.
It's going to be Baltimore or Cincinnati.
They would have a better chance with Jameis Winston being the quarterback than Deshaun Watson. And I understand you can look at Deshaun Watson's record and everything. He stinks, and the defense carried him in those games. Joe Flacco at least did. Joe Flacco made them a better team, actually, last year, believe it or not. Look, I think the Bengals are winning the division. You know why? Baltimore, I agree with you, Bank. You can't argue that they don't belong in that first tier with the Chiefs because of particularly the consistency that they have on defense. They always, always, always have a really good defense.
The Chiefs get that great litmus test next Thursday night.
That game's going to be really good.
That is a monster game in the AFC for seeding. Like, the Chiefs, to me, they need the bye week so bad, that one bye week. And I know that they kind of had that bye week built in last year with the Chargers at the end of the year. But for a team that's, well, I know that they have rookies and other players coming in, but a bulk of this team has gone all the way to the wire the last couple of years, because only a few of them still remain that first Super Bowl team. But six straight years going to the AFC title game or the Super Bowl starts to wear on, especially the NFL, when you're playing that many games a year.
Okay, so did you want to do this conversation about marriage and relationship talk as trash of the day, or do you want this separately from trash of the day? Do you want to count it as trash?
We can do it as trash of the day.
Okay, just give me one second. Go for it, Bink.
And by the way, I still want to talk about the Niners, because a lot of people giving that team a lot of credit. And
they're going to be in trouble when they have to pay Brock.
They're going to be in trouble because they get that short window and Trent Williams not back. So, yeah, you got to worry about it. You know, the trash of the day comes up on the season that we're beginning right now. And I'm kind of curious. Our text line, 913-586-7965. Also the phone number as well. But have you had the difficult conversation with your wife yet, your girlfriend, your fiance, whomever, guys? It could be, you know, girls. I mean, I know tons of girls that are
about
huge football fans, too.
Football.
The football starting, and I or you may not see them for a couple of months. And we had a discussion last week about don't get married in the fall because we know nobody cares. Nobody wants to go to your wedding if you do get married in the fall, and it's ridiculous to do it.
Yeah, but shout out to Josh Pate.
But do you tell your girlfriend, do you tell your wife, hey, I'll see you in February? And this is for the guys, man. What do you tell them? Like, because football does consume it. This weekend's a big weekend. Like, if I'm sure that they have barbecues planned and everything else, which you can do because Sunday night and Monday night you got games. But are you planning something for tomorrow? Because tomorrow is a ridiculous college football slate. Does your girlfriend, or not your girlfriend, Drew, you're married.
For me, my wife, but for everybody else, whoever it may be on the text line.
Did she know when you were dating and she was your fiance and all that? Not to bother you in football season.
I did not give her a two-week notice like we saw a viral social clip of.
Yeah.
I did not give a two-week notice of, hey, by the way, I'll see you in February because my weekends are dedicated. That person who did that is probably doesn't have a relationship anymore, or it's relatively close to that.
And here's the one thing about it. People that work here have a legitimate excuse to say that because the games for work purposes, because it is work purposes.
Correct. And I've used that excuse to my wife before.
And it's not an excuse. That's reality.
It is reality, but it's a little bit of an excuse.
Hang on.
You hear from me, Bink. I've been chewed out. There is no reason for me to be on Saturday night watching San Jose State playing freaking Hawaii on TV.
Maybe you're trying to get money back, you know?
There is. I'll make a bet, but I'm not going to watch the game.
Hawaii's the most betting team in the country.
There's no reason for me to be watching that game, which is a fair point. Like, my wife knows that we have this job. Like, she's good at me watching football. She'll watch football with me. She doesn't like college so much. She'll sit down and watch NFL games with no problem, but college, not so much.
She a Chiefs fan yet?
I'll be honest with you. She loved Travis Kelce.
Yeah, you haven't warped her in the Bengals yet or any of that crap?
Until Taylor Swift, the whole Taylor Swift thing started happening. Now she does not like Travis Kelce.
Really?
Because it's too much. It's overwhelming. She doesn't like it, and it's annoying. I think, in all seriousness, if it were not for Taylor Swift, she would be a Chiefs fan. I'm dead serious.
Really?
She would be a Chiefs fan. I'm never going to bring up that conversation. Somebody on the text line, my wife watches with me. Another person, my wife is ride or die during football season.
All of them are just Chiefs games. Because I'm curious, because there's a difference. Because a lot of wives will watch the Chiefs. Like my mom, she likes football. She'll watch Monday Night Football and stuff like that. But she's not missing a damn Chiefs game.
Yeah.
Like that is her focus each and every week. And there's a lot of people like that are just Chiefs and that's it.
She's not, my wife doesn't have a team that she claims. So I think it's a little bit less priority watching, like appointment watching, as much as, yeah, I'll just sit down and I'll enjoy the game. And like if the Bengals are on and I'm watching, she'll watch every now and then. But I am not going to tell my wife, screw you, I'm going to watch games all day. You can do what you want to. I will never say that to her. That is good luck to any of you that are doing that. And if you can get away with that or feel like you can get away with it, I could never, I would never, and my wife would not let me do that either.
From the text line, from the 913, while I'm watching football, my wife can visit her boyfriend. Problem solved.
Jeez. All right. Well,
here's from the 620. My wife will watch a game per weekend only if it's Chiefs or the Packers. And I feel that this happens.
That is appointment watching, yeah.
Quite a bit. But you know what, guys? It's why you go to plays or things you would never go to, like you'd go shopping and stuff on weekends. It's why you do it in March and April, because you have score. You keep scoreboard and say, remember that time where we went antique shopping in downtown Parkville back in May? Do you remember that? Because you use those cards for football season.
I think that, you know, taking care of everything in the summertime is great. There are some things, though, that you can't take care of. Like if you need to go and get toilet paper bank and all that stuff and you run out on a Friday night.
It's called Hy-Vee Online. I'm not kidding. I had beer delivered yesterday.
I don't. The delivery thing is, I will go and get it myself.
I had beer delivered. Just grab your cell phone. I resisted it for the longest time, but I'm like, you know what? Damn, this is kind of cool. You order your football snacks and your beer. And I have a membership, so you have to spend at least $24. But a couple cases of beer and some football snacks, you're past that $24 threshold.
Man, these people they don't appreciate my wife not being a Chiefs fan because of Taylor Swift. I don't understand why some women have a problem with the Swift stuff. It's literally a minute total of the game. Yes, I'm with you there. I don't care about it. It's whatever to me. It's whatever. But the thing is, outside of the games, for like my wife will get on Instagram and she'll get on like the Daily Mail, Snapchat, or whatever. It's constantly just spoon-fed into everybody's faces outside of the football game in terms of just news. And it just gets a little long. I said this, I don't know if you were in Bink or if it was Alex and Cody. Travis Kelce eventually, and this might be a hot take, I love Travis Kelce. I think he's great and he's awesome. He's going to turn into a little bit of what The Rock has turned into, a little bit of what at one point Kevin Hart turned into. He's going to be the song that never stops playing that eventually is going to be like, I don't want to hear this anymore. You're great. I appreciate you. What you do is awesome. But it's a little bit too much. That, I think, is what's going to... That's what's kind of happening.
Don't blame the person.
Blame the cameraman. Fine. That's why I said, I don't blame Travis as much. But in terms of coverage, in terms of always being in movies, film, music, whatever, it's going to happen, I think, with Travis Kelce. Nothing against him, but it's going to happen where I think it just gets a little overwhelming.
Here's the wife of the year, by the way. Well, it's fiance. This guy should put a ring on it. 913 says, my fiance hates it. Before we started dating, I told her passion about football and how my Saturdays and Sundays are non-negotiable.
See,
this could be my relative, because I did have this discussion with my ex-wife.
No. Say that again, Bink.
My ex-wife?
Yes.
Yeah,
good luck to this individual, but
913 says chores get done before noon. Bink, tell me you're twice divorced. Yeah, I am. But here's the thing. I was watching the Chiefs games for his media, and she comes over, and she brought beer, by the way. She's like, come on, get some beer and watch Chiefs. I was like, hell yeah, little hearts above my head. It's like, it's great. But I was watching like the Rams before that because they were good back then. And it was a noon game, and the Chiefs were coming on three. And she goes, you watch other games too? And I said, sit down. There's something we need to discuss before going forward. I watch football every Saturday and Sunday, and typically I'm at high school games on Friday night. Is this a deal breaker? Yes or no? And, you know, when you date people, many people leave you because you're like, hey, I got to watch a game. They're like, oh, that's such an excuse. I'm like, it's for my job. Like, literally five things I do at the station revolve college football. You know, I do a college football report on the Chiefs pregame show. That Character Concerns podcast that Chris and I do deals with that. So there's a lot of stuff with what you do for. We'll take a timeout now. We come back. Chiefs Redhead.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Half hour.
Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5. The Fan.
Chiefs Red Half Hour, Jay Binkley, Drew Nixon, Alex and Cody back on. Hey, happy birthday, Cody, by the way. When's his birthday, Drew? It's this weekend sometime. Saturday or Sunday, one of the two. It's not today, is it? I hope I don't miss Cody Tabb's birthday. Our phone number, 913-586-7965. The Chiefs, less than a week from action for the Baltimore Ravens, 7:20. Next Thursday night. It's finally here. I always can't wait for preseason to start, and then I can't wait for preseason to end. That's kind of how I do things. But, man, I'm set for the regular season, excited about it. The Brett Veach spoke yesterday as well. We'll get to some of that in just a second. But the one thing is, how happy is he with the depth on this team? Happy are you with the depth? Because this team doesn't need much. But the depth, you can see with some of the moves the Chiefs have made, bringing in Cam Thomas, defensive end from Arizona, Bailey Zappe, third-string quarterback. I mean, it is more experience, but it's not, you know, a big move. Samaje Perine, I think, is actually a brilliant move by Brett Veach and the Kansas City Chiefs. It gives them that extra running back that serves and catches. He had 50 catches last year. But the Chiefs were in waiver wire consideration for several. They didn't get them. They ended up getting a defensive back through the waiver process, but they were put in claims on several defensive backs, which leads me to say, okay, how happy are they with the defensive backs? Eric Scott out of Baser, Kansas, is the corner that they ended up getting. But because of that, is there anything to look into that? The Chiefs were wanting to make a couple claims on a corner. We can look into it and say, okay, is Jalen Watson not 100% ready for this season? Is the trust in Josh Williams not there? Nazi Johnson's coming off that injury last year. Where do you sit? I don't look at it like that. I think this team is so loaded, both in defensive backfield they invested so heavily for in the draft last couple of years, and the safeties for this team are absolutely ridiculous. Do you look at that at all, Drew, that they were, you know, there was a couple guys they were trying to make claims on? But obviously yeah. They were last on the waiver wire, so they couldn't. But they do claim Eric Scott, the cornerback from Dallas, so they did get one more. I think this is more for insurance policy than anything else. I don't think they're sweating the defensive backs.
No, I agree. One of the things, though, that is, it at first wasn't as much of a worry, and now it is when, you know, Spax comes on and says, well, nobody's really kind of stepped up yet. You could take that as a good thing or a bad thing. A good thing being, well, they're all playing really well. It's turned more into the bad conversation of, well, nobody's really ready yet. You've had Nazi Johnson, who's been beaten up a little bit. Jalen Watson's been beaten up a little bit. Josh Williams has had some time. Nobody's really stepped up into that. I think it's Joshua Williams in week one.
I agree with you 100%.
But I wonder if it's, I don't want to say quarterback two by committee, which, because I think that sounds a little concerning if you're having to rotate guys in. But we're going to get, I think, a really good idea through the first 3 weeks of the season, because you're facing Lamar Jackson and the Ravens, you're facing Joe Burrow and the Bengals, and you're facing Kirk Cousins and the Atlanta Falcons. That's three really solid quarterbacks, really good quarterbacks. We're going to learn pretty quickly who works and who doesn't. And if it is a rotational thing where maybe in certain sets, this guy comes in, other sets, this guy comes in, and they're making it work. If they're 3-0 through the first three games, I don't think they should change whatever they're doing, whatever that is. But I think Joshua Williams right now, I would say, just in terms of most availability and being a fit, more like Legarius Sneed, where he's bigger, longer, kind of lanky, you know, a long, a wide arm span, you know, corner.
Yeah.
Wingspan is what the word I'm trying to search for is.
Well, both Williams and Watson, bigger guys.
I think Williams right now fits that equation, at least in week one, but I understand why they were looking for a corner just for that depth in case
and
something
Josh's been
to
banged
happen.
Up a little bit, you know, and Jalen Watson's coming back from the
To your point, I think that to what you just said, that's the reason why they go and they look is because, well, if we need somebody, we need to have somebody to rely on that can at least be available.
And you're going to see Trent McDuffie probably a lot in the inside, and you're going to see him a lot. I know that they're wanting to move to the outside more with him, but
Shamari's the nickel, right? I mean,
Shamari's the nickel now at this point, and he can play safety as well, but Trent McDuffie did spend a ton last year inside before making the move to the outside, but I think he'll be in both. It's that versatility that they have. And again, 2 years ago when they won the Super Bowl, they had five rookie defensive backs, and all they've done is gotten experience since then. Yeah, losing on Jarius Sneed hurts, but this team does have that depth and that point, so I'm not overly concerned about that. I do, obviously, Cody, I know, put on Twitch that the Cam Thomas I was pretty excited about. This is a guy that sometimes you have to find the right scheme, and it wasn't in Arizona for Cam Thomas. I think you guys are going to like him. He's going to be on a rotation basis, obviously, with the Chiefs, but I think you're going to like this guy. He can play inside, outside, 3-eye, 4-eye, 5-eye, play everywhere that you want. A little bit undersized on the inside, but that's where his two sacks came from in the preseason, was inside. But Arizona switched from a 4-3 to 3-4 once they've drafted him. So it's tough to be a fit as a stand-up linebacker on the outside. He's more of the hand-in-the-dirt defensive end. I like that move. But which one will pay the biggest dividends? A guy that you're very familiar with, Drew. A guy that once, well, he's the NCAA single-game rushing record holder. I don't know if you remember that. 427 yards that he had against Kansas. 427 in one game. I mean, think about that. That's almost halfway to 1,000 in one game. Remember Melvin Gordon set the record the week before?
Yeah.
With 408, then he beats that record
MG.
The following week. But Samaje Perine, but he's more than just that. And I've always thought that Andy Reid wants three things out of a running back. One, can you pass block? Two, can you catch? And then the running comes after that. One thing we know about him, Samaje, is, well, first of all, he's got playoff experience, but he can pass block very well. And that's someone you trust on third downs. And 50 catches last year, he's got great hands. And that's something that I think the Chiefs definitely covet. I know they've been working with Isaiah Pacheco, catching the ball more and stuff like that out of the backfield. But Samaje Perine brings you that, you know, that change of pace guy that can catch the ball. And he's a decent runner, too. I mean, he's a great short yardage guy, which you have Carson Steele for at this point, too. But make no mistake about it, running backs get hurt all the time.
Yeah.
No. So having that depth as far as running back is huge, because who knows? Maybe he's got to end up starting three games. Who knows what's going to happen, or Carson Steele will start, because injuries will happen to running backs. I think we all know that.
Yeah, and in terms of like reliability for a guy that not only is a veteran, but has played in big game and games and has had big moments in the league. This was Brett Veach just yesterday on Samaje Perine and potentially having him ready to go for that game against the Ravens next week.
We were on the lookout to add a fifth defensive end. And in addition to that, that third down Jerick McKinnon role, we obviously have some guys that can run and catch, but the proficiency in pass pro, I think one of the things that Samaje brings to the table is he's been one of the best in the NFL the last few years on third down in regards to targets and pass protections. And he's just a veteran player that fills that role. And, you know, we're certainly excited to bring him in and get him up and running. And hopefully he's up to speed quickly enough to be active on Thursday night.
And is he going to be ready? I mean, one thing people really wanted him, you know, when someone's cut or something, or we're going to be cut, everybody's like, oh, well, should the Chiefs grab him? Well, this one made a ton of sense. And do you put anything to it that they tried to trade the Broncos for him when they knew he was going to be cut? The Broncos are idiots because they could have actually probably had something for him, like a draft pick. But they don't want to do something with the division, so they just cut him anyway, even though they were going to. Wouldn't it have been better to get a conditional sixth or seventh than nothing?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'm surprised they didn't do it. But Samaje Perine, if they're looking at that Jet McKinnon role, which is very important for this team, bigger dude. I mean, Samaje Perine, obviously, you know, a bigger back. But Jet McKinnon, when he came here, now last year he didn't have that good of rushing numbers, Jet did. He only had 60 rushing yards for the Chiefs. The year before, much more efficient. He had 291. And then as far as catching the ball out of the backfield, he had 25 receptions last year in just 12 games, though. He had 56 the year before. But remember, Jerick McKinnon didn't get credit for all those great blocks that he had earlier on that, you know, freed up Mahomes to throw downfield to Kelsey or whatever for touchdowns. But Jerick McKinnon was always back there making those blocks.
Doing, like, the little things.
And then remember he had that burst of touchdowns, catching touchdowns in six straight games. All those touchdowns came after December. It was kind of like in case of emergency, break glass. Like, they kind of sandbagged McKinnon until the end of the year to keep him fresh, and that's when they used him. Do I see, you know, with Samaje in that kind of role? Where, you know, early in the season, he's not used as much. Pass pro, yes, and you're not going to recognize it, but it's probably one of the key reasons that they would have him. But then towards the end of the season, start to be that guy that gets a lot of the run. Not only that, Samaje Perine also could pick up those short yards.
Yeah, he's a guy that's built for a little bit more built for, you know, if you need a couple yards here or there, he's...
He averages 4 yards of carry in his career. He had 4.5 last year.
Yeah.
I mean, with the Bengals, he didn't get a ton, you know, as far as running the football. Just kind of, you know, here and there for him. But
he really developed.
He caught out of the backfield a lot for Burrow.
I was going to say, at Oklahoma, they kind of ran that sort of stuff anyways. But
he was a stud at Oklahoma.
But, I mean, being able to just be that reliable guy out of the backfield for a screen here, a screen there, pass blocking, as you mentioned, he fits exactly what Brett Veach wants, is the, you know, the Jerick McKinnon role where if Colton, and I think to that point, he didn't do as much, but if you needed Jerick McKinnon to do something, he came through for you. I think Samaje Perine is that similar caliber of a player for you.
And he's 235 pounds, which that's the difference between him and the Jet.
Yeah, right.
But McKinnon played a lot bigger than he was. Like, his toughness was there with Jerick McKinnon. That's one thing that he always had. And it was still about 215 pounds. It's not like he was, you know, like totally tiny. 215 is kind of how Jet McKinnon ran.
Yeah.
But being the last line of defense for blocking for Mahomes is so big because that can make the difference to throwing a touchdown or not.
And even if it's to you throwing the touchdown, you know.
And having, you know, a rookie left tackle. I love the way Kingsley's playing at this point, but let's face it, it is the NFL. You're going to take your lumps. And that's one of the things you don't want to do is kind of leave, you know, Patrick Mahomes open. I know Jared Wiley's coming here with more of a blocking tight end. He can catch the ball clearly and stuff like this, but a very good blocker. But just setting up that defense or the line of defense there from Mahomes throwing the ball.
What do you think real quick? I know we're digging in the weeds, I guess, by this, but they bring in Peyton Hendershot from the Cowboys after he got cut. And the conversation was, they're really going to keep four tight ends. Do they think Jared Wiley was fine, and what? But is he not like developing fast enough, or
is it going to be Irv Smith kept on the team?
Right. Or is it like a Peyton Hendershot's got the experience of special teams? You know, he can be that guy if needed, where Jared Wiley doesn't have to worry about that.
Here was the thing, and the reason I really think they brought him in special teams. He had over 400 snaps last year on special teams.
Yeah, just had,
like that was one area.
Irv Smith was not doing special teams.
Exactly. So they want that fourth tight end to be a guy that they can use a lot on special teams. That's why Hendershot was brought in here. I don't think it means anything else. I will say this, Chiefs love a lot of, you know, 12 and 13 personnel. But again, four tight ends, you can have four tight ends active every game day. Probably not. It's probably going to be one of your inactives.
Yeah. Does that mean Jared Wiley's an inactive then?
I doubt it. I think Jared Wiley will be the third guy, and I think they're going to count on him and use him a lot. It's kind of that Blake Bell role last year, because Blake Bell actually got a lot of snaps. You know, that when the Chiefs, a lot of times when Kelce, remember one time when Kelce's mad in the Super Bowl yelling at Reed or whatever? He was out of the game because they had Blake Bell and Noah Gray in there, right? In that, in the 12 personnel there, instead of, there's times where they'll pull him out. And, you know, you got to look at the age and things like that and you pull him out. But yeah, I see Wiley playing quite a bit for this team. As far as rookie impacts, clearly.
Red zone target.
Definitely a red zone target. Led college football in red zone touchdowns last year. But as far as rookie impacts for this team, sure, Kingsley's going to get the most snaps. But Xavier Worthy is going to make a difference for this team down the field. And I don't care about his size. He's going to make a difference spreading the defense. He catches everything. Now he's tougher than a lot of people think. He didn't miss the game at Texas. But Xavier Worthy and then Jaden Hicks on defense. Jaden Hicks is going to be a guy that I think surprises a lot of people.
Yeah, he's a stud. Well, and Veach even talked about it in the pressers that he got a text from Tyrann Mathieu saying,
I saw that. Yeah, Tyron's like, you got a good one.
2021's going to be good.
I'm surprised Tyron took enough time to watch Chiefs preseason games.
I don't know. He loves him some Kansas City Chiefs football. I don't know.
No, he does, and he was a big part of what this, you know, this kind of turnaround for this team. But I definitely, that's one of the moves I like, and obviously I like Cam Thomas a lot. Who do I think is going to be more of an impact with this team? I think it's going to be Samaje Perine. Actually, what's it mean for Clyde? Well, you're going to have depth. Again, injuries do happen in running backs all the time. People do get banged up. People play hurt. Remember Pacheco a couple years ago played hurt to the Super Bowl.
We had talked about this a little bit yesterday. Veach also talked about Trey Smith, you know, him being potentially next man up. He said that they've spoken with both Nick Bolton and Trey Smith and their representatives. It sounds like Trey always has kind of been the one who's more likely to get signed. In this case, I think partially because they value offensive line. Not that, you know, guard is kind of replaceable, linebacker kind of replaceable, but ever since that Super Bowl against Tampa Bay, Bink, I feel like the offensive line has been the priority, making sure that Mahomes is good, and Trey Smith is a priority to make sure that interior of the offensive line is solidified.
And Trey Smith's a different dude. It's tough to get guys like that. Like Nick Bolton's, you can find a lot of linebackers like that, to be quite honest with you, in the draft. But Veach did say this about Trey Smith.
Yeah. We've been in conversations with Trey, and we still have some time here, and, you know, we'll get a chance to talk to both Trey's people and Nick's people. And it is a little tricky when you get in the off season. It's hard to kind of work on four deals all at the same time, not knowing where they're going to end and not knowing where the money's going to be allocated. So you do, unfortunately, have to do it kind of systematically, and it does take time and does drag out. Fortunately, we were able to knock Harrison out rather quickly, and obviously Creed was tricky. That took some time. He's a tremendous player, but excited to get him done, and now we still have some time here before the season starts, and we'll continue to see if we can make some progress with the last few guys here that are you know, younger guys that are going to be up next year.
And obviously the guard market was the big one this year. 2 years ago, it was the wide receiver market. Did you see the guard contracts? I mean, the guard money's insane. But Trey Smith, to me, when he came in and as a six-round pick, and I remember seeing Mitch Holtis that day at training camp before the first team practice out there, and he's like, I wouldn't be surprised to see Trey Smith starting for this team. And he's never looked back at this point. But there is nobody as more of a devastating blocker on this offensive line than Trey Smith. You've all seen the viral stuff against the Broncos where he comboed it and knocked two guys to the ground. But Trey Smith is a complete deke leader. Mm. The guy, to me, brings that toughness to the offensive line. He's the guy that leaves defensive linemen worried or linebackers worried for the game, because if your head's not on a swivel, Trey Smith will knock you down. And that's one thing I really, really enjoy about him. Not only is he damn good, but just how ferocious he plays.
I mean, Kingsley's versatility, like his agility, the one play that I just keep on coming back to is when they played the Lions with the screen play. Him being able to get out as fast as he did and get down the field, I mean, he's quick. He's able to move. He's obviously big. But him being able to move as quick as he does for his size, them having the screen game the way that it does, and then them having Xavier Worthy.
How fluid he can get out.
Yeah, them having Xavier Worthy, and I think one of the biggest things that they can do from week one to get is just get him the ball. He didn't even have to think, hey, Xavier, take a streak, run a post. You know, I know it's more complicated than that. But just tell him to go out and run. Have him do a bubble screen. Get him the ball. Kingsley's got the ability where he can get out in space and he's able to go down the field where you've got, I mean, left tackle, center, right guard, potentially left guard, all locked up here. I mean, it's a good thing to have, obviously, because the priority is Patrick Mahomes and the most prized possession needs to be protected.
It should always be the priority.
Like,
you know, look, okay, who helps Mahomes, who doesn't? Obviously, it's Trey Smith more than Nick Bolton. Like, that is your priority.
816. It might be as simple as that, yeah.
Yeah. 816 says, are we missing something? The national media seems to think CEH and P. Ryan are the backup running backs. I thought we were pretty sure Steele would be running back, too.
I think
preseason, Steele showed that he deserves to be the second back. But, again, it's the NFL. You're going to need multiple backs. We see Carson Steele. I think he will, and he's a much better runner than, you know, a fullback that gets, you know, 132 yards rushing in 4 years of college football because the guy's a halfback playing the fullback position, obviously, but he's going to be playing a lot of halfback too. But when you talk about short yardage and deficiencies, P. Ryan is that guy. And you know what? Carson Steele's that guy. You'd like to think Pacheco would be that guy because Pacheco runs harder than anybody I've ever seen, except when it's third and one, except when it's 4-1. But look at Carson Steele to be a big part of the offense. But is Samaje P. Ryan better than Clyde? Yes. And listen, I know Carson Steele, we have big expectations for him, but he is a rookie, and P. Ryan's done it against top teams.
Well, yeah, I think that Clyde's availability is what made Carson Steele running back two, because Clyde's going through what he's going through. And if Clyde's healthy, I feel like them bringing in Samaje P. Ryan ruined any chance of Carson Steele, in my opinion, being running back two, so he's three or four. And right now, I would say that's where he's at. And depending on Clyde's availability, he might be four.
Or Carson might be three. The one thing about it, too, is, listen, I like Carson Steele. I like what we saw from him. And I love the stiff arms he was doing and everything else. But the bottom line is, you're doing it against second and third team players. Guys that will be selling State Farm insurance next week. That's who you're doing it against. P. Ryan's proven it against NFL talent and even NFL talent in the playoffs. Doesn't take anything away from him. I'm just saying you have to slowly, you know, bring that in as far as in the NFL game and who's done it, been there, done it before. We'll take a timeout. We come back, play the hits and some fortunate news for the Kansas City Royals next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
For Trent, pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.